Okay, so welcome everybody this evening. It's Wednesday evening here in London to the Healthy, Happy and Wealthy Telesummit. And tonight I have great pleasure in introducing Brenda Edelman. And Brenda has a master's degree in spiritual psychology. She's received a Hero of Forgiveness Award from the Hawaii International Forgiveness Project. And she's an award-winning actress with a one-woman show based on her life called My Brooklyn Hamlet. And she's a life coach, and her specialty is forgiving the unforgivable. And I have heard Brenda talk, and she's absolutely magnificent, so I think we're in for a thrilling evening. So welcome, Brenda. It's nice to be talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me, Liz. I'm really excited to be here. And I'm going to talk about several things today. The five top reasons to never forgive and why you must, which these are the reasons I've taken from the workshops I've done over the last few years, where people start the workshop saying why they can't forgive, and then I kind of give my take on that. And then I'm going to move into the three-step process that I used to forgive my father for killing my mother and marrying her sister within months. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly on the format of this, as far as if you're going to be asking me questions or if I should start speaking or what have
well,
you.
Well, I think having just said what you have said, I'll prompt you along with questions if it sounds as if you need it, but you probably won't. But let's start off with just, you say your father killed your mother. So how did you come to do this forgiveness work? Tell us about that.
Well, in 1995, my world really exploded apart with that gunshot. And I was extremely close with my mother and my father, probably codependently close. And I'm certainly open for people to ask questions on what that means later on. But I was kind of in the family, my role was to make things better for everybody. It was almost like being the husband to my mom and the wife to my father, in that I just wanted to be there in ways that they couldn't be there for each other to make them happy, you know, thinking that it was me that made them happy since they were fighting so much. They did love each other, too, and they hated each other. It was that kind of a tumultuous relationship and household that I grew up in. And I was living in California at the time. They were in New York. And when I found out, I flew back to New York, and another piece of this is that I have a brother, an older brother, who has a different father, and immediately he wanted to go after my father in court to, you know, put him away, and I was stuck in denial. Like, no, there's no way. Like, emotionally, I could not accept that my father killed my mother, even though there were there was a lot of kind of evidence to kind of support that. My father claimed it was an accident, but there were 8 hours before the police were called. His gun was never found. There was cleanup, things like that. So the first 3 years, really, after my mom died, I was filled with shame. I went into a depression. I was functioning, but really just functioning. There was no joy. I couldn't even really see light. And I constantly lived in the past wanting to join my mother. You know, I put my mother up on a pedestal. And, you know, I also did very much feel spirit and feel God come to me during this time. So I, you know, and I did have friends around, and I was very close with my mother's younger sister. My mother's older sister married my father. That's another piece of forgiveness, and I can talk about that later. So I was filled with the shame and filled with darkness and feeling alone. And then I was an actress at the time in Los Angeles, and in an acting class, I had an opportunity to put up something called a personal monologue. And it was just an exercise where you got to be real on stage. And I knew I had been hiding, and I knew I had to do this. So I put up this exercise where I revealed what had happened in my family, because up until that time, like I said, I was in denial, and people would say, what happened? And I'd say, oh, my mother died in an accident. And then they'd go further and say, well, what kind of accident? And then I burst into tears because I wasn't in acceptance. And so I put up this piece, this half an hour piece in class, and much to my surprise, not only did I get a standing ovation, but people started sharing their stories and sharing their secret shames. And what I realized is there was healing in realizing you're not alone. Even if the circumstances weren't the same as mine, it's that connection. We're all connected with our humanity. You know, who hasn't lost? Who hasn't felt betrayed? Who hasn't loved deeply and been disappointed or abandoned? And something shifted for me. And I kind of centered in knowing that I had to continue sharing my story, even though I wasn't necessarily ready. Not, you know, I was in an on and off again relationship with my father still at the time. I had no idea what a healthy boundary was, and that's a big part of my work now. I went back to school and got a master's degree in spiritual psychology. I was led to this wonderful program. And that was where I learned what a healthy boundary was, kind of like, and I'll talk about this later when I talk about my three-step process, but, you know, what would happen for me is in order to not feel hurt by my father, I would cut him out of my life. And that's what I call a hard boundary, and it's often a first step, that if you don't know how to not have someone in your life, you cut them out. But the problem was that he lived even more vividly in my mind. So during that program, I learned how to set a healthy boundary, which was, okay, let me use discernment. Let me not have this man in my life because he's hurting me. So it's never about just letting yourself be walked all over. But how can I not have him in my life and not obsess about him? And so I learned how to do that by basically, you know, sending loving thoughts to him. It was a process, though. And when I did that, I started to feel more freedom. A few years after that, I took him to court for wrongful death, which was very, very empowering for me to do, even though it was one of the most terrifying things I did, because I still had my my inner child, you know, my daddy's little girl that was like, I love him. How can I stand up to him like this? But I had to become the woman that I am today. And I started doing my one-woman show pretty regularly. After I took my father to court and I rewrote the ending, and then after doing a performance at a church in Sedona, Arizona, the minister said, you know, you should do some workshops. You know, you have all these skills with forgiveness and your master's degree, and it was just kind of the, you know, tapping into the flow and saying yes to the universe. Like, yep, I'm supposed to do that. Because I would do Q&As after the shows, and people would have their hearts open, and they would be like, I want to forgive this person. I want to forgive myself, and they didn't know how to do it. So that's how the workshops evolved. And then from that, the one-on-one coaching evolved, because people would, you know, start the process, and they'd want some kind of follow-through. And that's where my one-on-one coaching came from.
Wow.
It's like a good.
At the point where that guy said to you, you know, you should do workshops on this or whatever, was that a sort of aha moment? Did that sort of feel, yes, I can do that?
Yeah, well, you know, I had been doing the Q&As. In my master's program, I had learned how to counsel people for 2 years. So it didn't feel scary in that, oh gosh, I don't know how to do this. It was more a moment, and everybody, you can look in your lives, of a moment where you're being asked to step forward in a bigger way. So it was like, I was nervous and like, you know those thoughts, who am I to do this, that Marianne Williamson quote where we're afraid of our bigness. Yeah. And it really just took a moment, because I also thought this minister was very attuned. And then I said yes, and I basically scheduled the first workshop 2 days after my show, because I know my show is like a great way for people's hearts to just kind of open up without being talked to, you know, just visceral, kind of like music. And so, you know, people were already kind of schooled in the opening work, how you feel better when you let go of the anger and resentment versus, you know, holding on to it so strongly. So it felt natural, felt very natural.
Okay, so when clients come to you, do they come with particular issues about forgiveness? What sort of problems do they bring to you?
They actually come with the whole gamut of issues. I find that my ideal client, because of the nature of how dramatic what happened, because of the the drama of what happens in my life, my clients come who are really ready to feel better. They're really ready to let go of whatever issue has been stopping them. And it you know, in a way it means they're ready to let go of the resistance and know that, you know, it's time. I feel it's really, it's like it's magnetic in that I'm really a stand for people living to their absolute full potential. And also because I'm an actress with a one-woman show, oftentimes my clients have a creativity that is sparked within them and they want to learn how to be bigger, express themselves more, not necessarily by doing a show, but by being seen in the world, you know. So this last telecoaching series I did was just incredible, and within it I did the component of self-forgiveness, but I also did forgiving your father's betrayal and forgiving your mother's betrayal. And it was so incredible because two of the participants actually, it turned out like last minute that they had to, one of them, last minute she had to go home to spend time with her family. And for both these participants who went home, their experience was completely different. It's like the nature of their relationships with their parents were completely different and much more balanced because of the work that we did. So oftentimes people, I have a lot of people who have issues with their father, and then self-forgiveness is a really big one. You know, I work a lot with forgiving yourself first. You know, a lot of times people are mad. Like for me, I was so angry at myself for trusting my father. I thought, God, I'm damaged because he's damaged, I'm damaged, and I'm just such a horrible person. How could I possibly make a good choice? Because I chose to love my father and look what he did. And so a lot of my work and people who come to me is about forgiving yourself for those choices you constantly judge yourself for and reframing it so that from that place of self-love you can make clear and wise decisions. I'd say the self-forgiveness is probably the biggest element of my work. That's like the biggest hurdle. And then once you reframe and start loving yourself and, you know, doing reparenting maybe of yourself and stuff like that, then you can make wise decisions and have more freedom.
Mm. And probably people think that self-forgiveness isn't the most important thing. They think of it in terms of forgiving others. But if you can't forgive yourself, then you're probably never going to forgive others because you're putting onto them the stuff that you're also putting onto yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You're projecting onto them. The thing is, you can work on trying. My whole thing is I always invite grace and ease in to my own work and my work with other people. And you can't, it's like you can't fully love someone, you can't fully forgive them if you don't first love and forgive yourself.
Mm.
You know, you can, it's like you're giving pieces to another person, even if you think about loving. You can love someone only to the capacity that you really love yourself, and it's the same thing with forgiveness. You know, a lot of times people hold on to that unforgiveness because as a way of protecting themselves, and if you really do the work on loving and forgiving yourself, you realize that you are protected and taken care of. And it's almost like energetically, people who could be hurtful will not even be in your life, because it's if you believe, and I believe this, that the universe is energy, it's not an energetic match anymore. Once you start letting go of these angers and resentments, it's amazing. Not only do you feel better health-wise, and you look younger because, you know, you don't have the lines on your face from the grimacing and the holding, but the people in your life, either the ones that are there already will change, or people, you know, and this is a consequence, people will leave your life who don't match where you are as far as vibrationally. And if you're happy and things like that, you know, you'll start to feel uncomfortable when you're around people who are, you know, not loving themselves or holding on to a lot of unforgiveness themselves. Mm.
That's fantastic. So you said that you were going to give us the five reasons about forgiveness.
Yeah. These aren't in the, it's not like this is the order of importance. It's just I kept hearing the same things over and over and over again from people over the years. And so I came up with this list, and you know, because they can seem so valid, these reasons, and then I'll give you my take on them. So the first one is, excuse me, if I forgive this person, I'm condoning what he or she did.
Mm.
That's a big one that people use, and so I'm here to say you are absolutely not condoning what he or she did. I actually don't even believe that you should forget what someone did. That, in my personal opinion, I feel like you should remember so that you don't get hurt again. You don't need to get the lesson again even from someone else. But that forgiveness is actually, it's releasing you. It is setting you free. It's not for them. If they have some kind of result that benefits them, great. But it's not for them. It's absolutely for you. And that's one of the big, you know, that's one of the biggest things to remember. You are not condoning what they did. You're not saying it's okay. What you're doing is releasing the resentment that you're holding in your body. It's kind of like and I don't remember who said this. They said that like unforgiveness is like taking poison and hoping the other person will die from it. You know, so that's kind of it. And then the second one is, my anger assures me that this person will never be in my life again. And I was referring a little bit to that as far as having a hard boundary, cutting someone out of your life, and sometimes you have to do that as a first step. Of course, I work with people so they can kind of move out of that step very quickly so that they're not hurting themselves. And the other thing about this is that the anger actually assures you that this person is constantly in your life through either obsessive thinking about them or suppressing your thoughts about them.
Mm.
You know, so it's like a lie that we tell ourselves that they won't be in our life. Maybe physically they won't be in our life because you'll be strong enough to say no, but, you know, I don't, you know, sometimes it's more damaging, those obsessive thoughts. I did want to say one thing here that, because you asked me about some of my clients before, I've worked with lots of people who have had obsessive thinking about a parent who they is older, that they've cut out of their lives because the person has been toxic to them. However, they obsessively think about them and obsess on how guilty they're going to feel when the person dies. That has been a common thread with people that I work with, and what I do with them is I create a ceremony of release. We do a lot of forgiveness work, forgiveness of themselves and forgiveness of others, and bringing compassion into the situation, and then we actually do a ceremony of release so that you can grieve the person before they're gone. And that doesn't mean the person will never come back into your life under the right circumstances, but if they don't, there's no guilt, and that's something that I actually did with my father. I did a ceremony of release that, you know, maybe I'll talk about after. I just want to make sure I get to everything here. I acted out in my show, and I did this ceremony of release before he died. He did die in 2004, and when he did, you know, I allowed myself to grieve for about 3 months. I didn't even realize I had more work to do, but I allowed myself to grieve, and then I actually felt complete peace and closure because I had done this work beforehand. It's very, very important. And please jump in if you have a question. But, the third one is, if I forgive them, they will hurt me again. And what I want to say about that is that, again, you know, going back to forgiveness is for you. And being angry and unforgiving actually increases the odds of you being triggered emotionally, being upset by something else they do. Again, it goes back to those obsessive thoughts, you know. If you've done the forgiveness work, then when they say something, because this is what people deal with a lot with either spouses or partners or their parents, you know, they just get right back into being triggered emotionally if they haven't done the forgiveness work. Whereas if you've done the work and you've forgiven them, let's say, what would be a good example? Okay, for example, I'll use something that I didn't do when my dad was alive, but my dad was definitely a bigot, right? And it was something that triggered me and my mother a lot. And every time he said something, I would be the one in angst. And that is something that you can actually do work where you can accept that that's their behavior. You can not like it and you can disagree with it, but you let the emotional trigger off of it. And the most amazing thing happens is that when you do, the other person oftentimes will stop making the comments because they're not getting something emotionally from you. You know what I'm saying? Or trigger, actually.
Yeah. And they're not reacting to your energy because your energy has changed.
Exactly. So they're not getting the payoff by saying something that's going to agitate you. So they'll end up not doing it. It's a really, really interesting dynamic. And then number four is, people have said to me, who would I be if I forgave this person? Which is so interesting because it means that their whole identity is tied into this event that happened, this betrayal. And what I want to say is, you wouldn't be the same person who holds a grudge, lives in fear, needs a wall up to protect yourself. And I know that can be really hard for people to hear. My work is about being authentic. And it's not about being easy, but it's about being simple. I want you all to live your best life. And this is the truth, that when you hold on to the unforgiveness, it really hurts you in ways probably don't even know. Like, for example, if you have a wall up to protect yourself from this person, let's say it's your partner, you don't even realize how it's affecting you, how it's maybe affecting your children, or how it's affecting someone at work, how it's affecting you advancing in your career, because that wall is still going to be up even if you don't realize it's up with other people. If you haven't really done the work as far as maybe trust issues, you know, if you mistrust the person who you're supposed to be closest with, what's going to happen in other areas of your life when you're being called forth to trust? That's why you start with self-trust, you know. And then,
so that's going to be toxic in all areas of your life, even when you're not aware that it's happening.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the biggest reasons to do this forgiveness. And what I wanted to say here is that when you open your heart and do this forgiveness work, you actually have better judgment so that you can make decisions from a place of discernment instead of an emotional trigger. And at the same time, you learn healthy boundaries, you know, again, because you're not emotionally triggered, you don't have to set those hard boundaries, and automatically you have more joy in your life because you're not so contracted, you know, and fearful. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth one, I'm reading this from my course because I have a free e-course on my website about this, the five top reasons to never forgive and why you must, and this is just the summary. The fifth one is what happened to me, the reason not to forgive would be what happened to me or someone that I loved was just too horrible. Mm-hmm. And from my own experience, I would have to say, like, you know, I could definitely say that what happened to me, losing my family and that one night, the way that I did was horrible, and the way my mom died was horrible. And so you never want to suppress that and not give attention to how much you were hurt, but you just don't want to live there. You know, so basically what I say is it probably was horrible what happened, but that in order to create the beautiful and empowering life that you want, you need to acknowledge the event, the relationship, the loss, the betrayal. You have to grieve it. It's so important to grieve it, not suppress it, not do like a spiritual bypass, like, oh, everything's okay. No, it's so important. I, myself, it took me over 3 years to really get in touch with my anger. You need to get in touch with that anger in a healthy way. I, you know, besides going to the master's program, I did an anger workshop and several other things. You want to express, you want to grieve, you want to cry, whatever it is, whatever was lost or taken from you, and at the same time release those parts in you that are stuck in darkness and pain so that you can move through it, you know, because this is what's in your hands. This is the beauty of it. You can stay in that darkness and pain. Some people do for their whole lives, but the beauty is that you don't have to. You can make a decision. You can make a decision today that you're ready to let go of the darkness and pain, that it doesn't mean anything less about you, that you're ready to kind of take your joy back, take your life back, take your love back, and take responsibility, you know, for how you're feeling now. So
And in a sense, if something terrible has happened, you don't make it any less terrible by not forgiving.
Right. In a way, it's like rewounding yourself every day with your thoughts. That's the beauty, is that it actually is in your hands to start moving the energy and stop rewounding yourself. And what happens is, if you're stuck in self-judgment and unforgiveness of self, you'll be afraid to take responsibility for the fact that you are keeping yourself where you are. And so that's why the self-forgiveness is so important, so that as you're taking responsibility, you're not using that to blame yourself. You're actually using it to love yourself more and know that you actually have the power to move out of this and make more of a contribution in your life, in your world, with the people who love you. You know, you have so much to give, and when you're stuck in that darkness and pain, you're not allowing other people to enjoy the beauty of who you are. So those are the five top reasons. I have a like I said, a free e-course on my website, which is forgivenessandfreedom.com. There's a sign up right there. It's a 5-week e-course, because it's filled with each of those. I've broken each of those reasons down, and then I give tools and techniques and self-forgiveness and how you can move through those things in your life and be happy, you know, because I feel like I lost 5 years of my life because I didn't know any of this, and I know that you don't have to lose 5 years, you know, you don't. And you know, some people have lost a lot more than that, and so I'm kind of on a mission to let people know there are ways, and there are specific ways that you can feel better. And that forgiveness is a process, it's not an event. You know, so you'd use these tools, and then you know what? 6 months later, you get triggered again, and instead of beating yourself up, you know how to forgive yourself again for those judgments and move deeper into the work, because it's like peeling an onion.
That sounds wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that the joy. I kind of feel like the darkness, where I went to in darkness, which was incredibly dark, you know, I thought about this was 1995, thought about killing myself. I was in an incredibly dark place, and I almost feel that when you can go there and start doing this work, you can because I have a wonderful life. I have a wonderful partner. I have a wonderful business. I get to express myself with my one-woman show. I get to help people. I get to do service. I feel like the depth of the darkness that you feel is also how light you can be. You know, because I know that before this happened in my life, I was kind of just sleepwalking through life, not really, you know, not going after my dreams, kind of insecure. Then I reached this place of darkness. Once you go there, and once you get through it, the courage that it inspires in yourself and others helps you to reach heights in your life and tap into your passion in ways that are so incredible. And that's what I hold for people, you know,
You must feel, once you've done that, if you can forgive that terrible thing and move on, you must feel that you can do almost anything.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of take things into perspective. Then it's like the little stuff is like, what? You know, don't sweat the little stuff. It's really true. And another element of my work is very much about being in the present. You know, I just love Eckhart Tolle's work and just being in the now. It's really important. You know, because like we were talking about before, when you're, you know, if you're constantly thinking about what happened, how you were betrayed or abandoned, or what you need from someone else, you're not in the present moment. You're not in your power. And all of my work is about every decision you make, every thought you have, does it empower you or does it disempower you? And then making the choice to be empowered. And that's in the present moment.
So do you have some examples of, you know, how clients have changed as a result of going through this forgiveness process with you?
Let's see. I was going to write some down. There were so many incredible things that happened. I mean, recently, and I don't think she'll mind, you know, one of my clients went back home, and she felt, for the first time, I won't use her name, so it'll be fine. She went back home with a lot of resistance and you know, had anger and had a wall up. And she had this major, major breakthrough that her wall was keeping her from being close to her mother. Her judgments against her mother and her wall was really keeping her mother at a distance to her, too, right? Because we get out, we get back what we give out.
Yep.
And it was so incredible because we were on a call one night and she happened to be there. So what she decided to do, and she shared with us afterwards, is that she went into the other room. It was late at night because she was on the East Coast and I'm on the West Coast. And she decided, you know, to tell her mother that, to tell her mother that she has had a wall up for many years and how much she really loved her mother. And it was incredible. You know, it was incredible to just kind of have her mother back after all those years. Because so many times we think of our moms as just our moms, not as people. They've got their own lives. They've got their own dreams. They've got their own dreams that they never had, you know, that they never got. So that was really incredible. Another client, there's so many different ways this stuff has shown up. I have another client who started decluttering her house. You know, it was like she realized that her emotional stuff was, her emotional stuff and thoughts and beliefs about the past were actually keeping her, like, stuck in the past because she had all this clutter from the past in her house. And so she started cleaning it up. And what's so amazing is, as circumstances would have it, this was, you know, we started working together in October. She's ending up selling her house. And the most amazing thing about this is that if she hadn't started going through her basement and all this stuff, it would have been an overwhelming process right now. But she was able to, like, move all this stuff. It's like, you know, you should look around and say, well, how much stuff, how many papers do I have all around? How many books, how many things from the past are surrounding you, and how is that a reflection to what's in your mind? You know, if you have things in the past, it's usually a reflection of stuff you're holding on to in the past too. And I'm not saying getting rid of everything, but you know, that's one way that one of my clients has kind of shifted her energy. You know, and she's got a lot of wonderful things happening right now, and opportunities that weren't there before. You know, and spiritual opportunities and business opportunities. And then another woman, like I said, went back to her place where her home that was pretty volatile, you know, a little bit older woman. And it was a different, it was like she expected a family member to be acting out at her like that person always did, and she always took it, but we worked with her self-esteem, and we worked on the fact that you do not have to be treated poorly by anyone, not a family member, even if it's been a habit. You know, nobody has a right to talk to you with disrespect. And she was kind of filling herself with these affirmations and the truth of who she is. And the trip was amazing in that she didn't have the altercation with this family member. It just didn't happen. You know, it was calm and peaceful. So that's why it's ironic that we can do this work ourselves and it actually changes the way other people are with you, you know. Yeah. The funny thing, that the other, my other client who went back home, she also had a very stressful relationship with one of her family members, and it turned out he didn't show up. He just wasn't there the whole time, and she had expected him to be there. And that's what I mean about the vibrational thing. It's very interesting. She had been doing the work, committed to herself, you know, working every week with me and doing the work on her own. She was really committed to her healing, and then he didn't show up, so she didn't have to deal with the stuff, you know. But she was also working on, like, you know, accepting him. Mm. That vibrational match is really... It's stunning how the energy works like that.
So the universe took care of it for her.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, as far as stuff that I've also dealt with, it's just been incredible, the things that have happened in my life as well from doing this work and letting go of judgment and blame and shame and stuff like that.
I'm just stunned. I'm amazed. It's wonderful. I can feel all sorts of possibilities for people when they let go of that old stuff that's holding them back and, you know, changing relationships with people and so on.
Yeah, and then you don't have to keep recreating the same relationship because you've already healed it, you know, because that's the thing. If you don't heal the stuff, let's say, you know, I'll talk about myself. If you don't heal the stuff with your brother, let's say, then it's going to show up in other relationships with men most likely.
Mm.
You know, there's going to be mistrust or something like that. And, you know, or, for example, for me, I had to, and I still work on my forgiveness around my aunt that married my father. Sometimes it's harder to forgive someone who you don't have that closeness and that love with to begin with. And, you know, because you don't have as, it seems like there's not as much at stake. And a few years ago, there was a woman in my life who just triggered me all the time. And I really, you know, I live a lot from a place of balance and equanimity. And I couldn't understand why this woman would trigger me so much. And I had this energy around her that I was just always mad. Drove me back into therapy, and I realized she actually had a lot of the qualities of my aunt who married my father. And so it drove me back to saying, you know what, I need to start opening my heart to my aunt, not have her back in my life. I don't want her back in my life, but how can I shift it so that when I do think of her, I think of compassion. I think of the essence of who she is versus her personality.
So that would move you away from that place where you're bound in by those old thoughts.
Exactly. And I just, I wanted to go over this three-step process.
Okay.
That I've used, if we have some time here.
We have, yes.
And I know I'm giving a lot, but, you know, I hope, you know, people on the call take, you know, what they need from this, and certainly they can email me if they have any questions, want some clarity, at brenda@forgivenessandfreedom.com. I think you'll send something out afterwards. But it's pretty simple. This is the three-step process that I talk about. And the first one is acknowledge that you've been hurt, betrayed, abandoned, whatever that means for you. And the reason that's my first step is because my personal experience, I was in denial around my father for, you know, 3 years. And when we love someone, sometimes we can be, right? And this works with people who are in relationships right now, to, you know, something like that, too. You want to make sure you are not in denial. Now, some people stay in this place of, you know, I've been hurt. And so it's not about staying in this place, but it is about acknowledging it. Because when I wasn't acknowledging it, I was turning in on myself. The way it worked for me is that I would overeat to numb out, maybe shop to numb out. I was going out with people who were emotionally unavailable to me. I was keeping myself busy so that I didn't have to acknowledge that my father could have done this crime. And so while I was in denial, I was filled with shame, and I couldn't heal. So it's a very, very important first step is to acknowledge that hurt. And then a little sidebar under that step is this is where the self-forgiveness comes in. This is where you acknowledge that you've been hurt, betrayed, abandoned, and stuff like that, and then you forgive yourself for trusting the person. For example, I was so angry at myself because I felt like, well, here's an example. Like I said, I overate. I let my father in my life, and then he was out of my life. That's how I dealt with, you know, if I was in too much pain, I would cut him out of my life. But what happened is when he came back into my life at one point, I literally gained 20 pounds in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And and I got so angry at myself because I felt like, wow, I hadn't been this weight since high school, and I felt like I was out of control. I knew it was related to my father, but I didn't, you know, what I did with the forgiveness is I, semantically, this is what I said, because you don't have to forgive yourself, like the essence of who you are, because that never has to be forgiven, but you forgive the judgment. So the semantics is I forgive myself for judging myself as out of control because I gained 20 pounds. And then I would reframe it. The truth is that I am doing the best I can. Or another one would be I forgive myself for judging myself as stupid for trusting my father. The truth is, I love my father and was taught to trust him.
Mm.
Okay? So you use whatever is true for you, and then you do that for a minimum of 32 days, saying that at night. You know, you can switch the forgivenesses sometimes. But this is really important. And, you know, you say it even if you don't believe it. And I believe in the e-course, there's more, you know, the free e-course, there's more specifics on that as well. You know, it goes into a little more detail. And then I just want to go a little faster so I could open this up for questions. The second step is, okay, so you've acknowledged that you've been hurt, betrayed, and all this stuff. You've done self-forgiveness work, and you're not in denial, but now the second step is you're giving up your need to be right. And this is a big one, because that righteousness, you know, people hold on to it. And people who have been brought up, what I've experienced in families that are very chaotic, like mine, this one is a big one for me, the righteousness. It's kind of like when you're brought up in that chaotic family and you know things are wrong that are going on, you hold on to your righteousness to keep your sanity, but it does, it no longer serves you as an adult because it keeps you in I'm right, they're wrong. And when you're in that place of blame, you can't heal. You can't feel joy. You know, because it's like you're needing something from someone else to say, I was wrong. And from that place, there's no equanimity and balance.
Yeah.
There's a great quote by Shakespeare, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. You could say there is nothing either right or wrong, but thinking makes it so. And that's the same thing, and that's about shifting perspectives. I'll give a quick story here. My brother and I stopped speaking for 6 years. After my mom died, because like I said, we had a different father, and it was my father who killed our mother, and my brother wanted to go after my father in court, and I didn't. When we did reconcile, and we reconciled to bring my father to court for the wrongful death, when I finally realized that my father did do this, I had to give up my need to be right. I had to practice every forgiveness tool I had because I had been in the story, believing the story that my brother abandoned me, he was my older brother, and that I was right because he should have been there for me, and how could he not have let me see my nephew. And then when my heart opened and I realized in a moment that he probably felt the same way about me, that even though I was the younger sister, maybe I was the one who abandoned him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really got that it's perspective. He was right too. You know, that's why it's so important to realize that. And in this stage, you work with forgiving other people, doing those. I forgive myself for judging my brother as cold-hearted. Because I judged him as abandoning me. The truth is he was doing the best he could to survive, as an example. And then in this stage, you're also learning about healthy boundaries. So, for example, I had to decide with my brother, am I going to let him in my life again? What kind of person was he like before this? Is he someone who honors me? And then make decisions from that place. And then the third step is... And this is a really important completion step, and this is sending love and light to the person who hurt you. This is where some people don't get to. Yeah, but this is what came up for me around my aunt. I had already done it with my father and with my brother. I had to learn how to do it with my aunt. What it does is it transforms that angry energy into love and compassion, and the person who benefits is you.
Mm.
And then the tag on that is that, of course, then if you're finding yourself struggling with that, and in my work I talk about this stuff, customize things for people, but is to do service work. If you do service work, it takes you out of yourself and out of your story. And oftentimes, when you see people and how they struggle, you can drop into compassion.
Yeah,
that's the process.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so I'm going to open up the lines now to see if anybody has any questions or comments.
Oh, hello. Nicola here.
Hi.
Hi. So, is your work the same as the Landmark Forum?
I'm sorry, the same as what?
Have you heard of the Landmark Forum, Landmark Education?
No, I haven't.
You just use a lot of the same terms and references that they use. But anyway, I've been stuck in not forgiving my ex-husband for abandoning us, and that first step, how does somebody, really, how do you recognise the, where you can't forgive somebody? Like, you think you've forgiven everybody and you're going through life every day and everything's okay, but there's something that, how do you find that first part where you realise what you have to do to forgive them?
I'm having a little bit of hard time understanding your accent. I'm so sorry. Can you, you said that you were having a hard time for forgiving your ex-husband for abandoning you?
Yeah.
And what was the question?
How do you find the depth of how you're hiding that that grudge on them? Because you think you've forgiven everybody, but like you say, something's holding your life back. So how
something's
do you find
holding, something's holding what?
Something your life back. This is something holding you back.
Oh, okay. Something's holding you back.
Yeah. So how do you find the actual part of you that won't let go of that?
What I would suggest, have you done journaling? Have you done journaling?
No.
Okay, this is one of the most important things to do, would be to do free-form writing. So what you would do, and what's really good, is to do it like maybe late at night or even early in the morning when you first get up, because the left side of your brain is not in there as much trying to analyze anything, and you can just write and basically write everything that's on your mind. And are you familiar with The Artist's Way, the book The Artist's Way?
No.
It's a book by someone named Julia Cameron. It's such a wonderful book. I really recommend it to everyone. But in it, she uses an example of something called morning pages. And what it is you write a minimum of 3 pages every morning, or you could do it, you could do it night before you go to bed, whenever you have the time. And you just write everything out. You write, it could be a laundry list of what you have to do for the day. But what happens is eventually something really deep comes out of, what's really on your mind. And another thing that you can do is you can literally, one thing that I teach is doing self-counseling. So what this is getting in touch with your higher self, the higher part of you, and you write a dialogue between, yourself, that you name it your name, and then you would say, I see, which is your inner counselor, and you would start it with a question. For example, that question, what is holding me back? What am I not seeing? And then you let your inner counselor, that other part of you, answer. And it's pretty amazing what comes out. And sometimes the inner counselor is literally just silent, and it just holds silence for you while this other part of you is expressing what's wrong. And the other thing you can do is you can do some free-form writing with your non-dominant hand. That's a really great way also. It's all about bypassing the analytical brain. And you just start writing what's on your mind. And you'll be amazed at what comes out. Now, try to remember what you're writing, because oftentimes you can't even read it back. It's amazing what comes out. But it's really like your child self is saying what's wrong, why I'm angry. And that's maybe that would probably be the best thing to do, to just start writing with me.
Just sit there and write. Just start writing. You don't have to think about what you're writing. Just
Exactly. You're not thinking about it, so it's coming right from your heart, right from your inner knowing.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I hope that helps. And of course, you know, I love to hear from people if something does help. And I also do monthly free teleseminars that you can always go on, and you know, there's different topics each month, but you can share, you know, how something worked for you and stuff like that. I really like to get feedback. Thank you.
And Brenda, do you have a particular free taste or offer for the people on this call?
I do. I have. I'm starting a compassionate forgiveness telecoaching series next. Thursday, May 7th, and I just completed the 4 weeks of this class on last Thursday, and it was so incredibly powerful. I'm going to get some testimonials from my clients. I'm just unfortunately very technologically challenged, so I wasn't able to send the testimonials I have over to my assistant yet, who puts everything up on the website. But it's an incredible series. They're four 90-minute calls, and they're small, just really only eight people on each call at the top. That's the most I'll allow in. And they're 90-minute calls, and I call it a telecoaching series because most of it is coaching one-on-one. And, of course, I really love group coaching because you learn so much while I'm coaching someone else. I find that it's pretty synchronistic who comes in each class. It's a really affordable way to get the one-on-one attention, and it has accountability built into it and support and a customized plan for everybody, because that's really the way to heal, you know. And this is deep. This is very deep stuff. The first week is about forgiving yourself, really going deeply into the self-forgiveness work and setting that up. The second week is forgiving your father's betrayal so that you can experience more love and freedom in your life. As a woman, you can experience more trust with men, and then as a man, you can experience really self-love. The third week is forgiving your mother's betrayal, and that's so that you can experience more power as a woman, and also forgiving your mother's control and judgment. And this helps in other relationships, you know, relationships with other women. And what I want to say as far as forgiving your father and forgiving your mother, doesn't matter if they're still alive or not. And during those weeks, you can also use, like, for example, someone didn't have an issue with their father, they had an issue with their brother. You can do that as well. And then the fourth week is forgiving God and really transforming your beliefs that this is a hard world into one that you know that you are supported and loved. So that's starting Thursday, May 7th, and it's going to be 7 o'clock Pacific time. I know there are people on this call from all over the world, so if I get many people from other countries, I might, you know, if I have enough people, I'll set up another call that we could do in a different time. That would be better. And then it's only $150. And I am offering a $25 discount. If you decide to do this, it would you put EZ discount into the code, EZ, the letters EZ discount into the code bar. And I'm also offering 1 hour and half an hour bonus complimentary one-on-one sessions with me for the first two people get 1 hour coaching session with me. Complimentary, and the following six get a half an hour. So get right on that if you're interested in doing that, because just for time, you know, for me to allow time for the coaching sessions. Yeah, and if you have any questions, you can email me. Oh, and that's at forgivenessandfreedom.com.
Fantastic. Wonderful to know. So any final comments for Brenda? I think that was a wonderful session. You've given us loads of information, Brenda. And I will follow up with an email so everybody has the URL for the information you've given us.
Great. Thank you very much, Liz. It was a pleasure.
Good. Okay, so thank you everybody for listening, and if you're listening on the MP3, thank you for listening to that. And I shall sign off now and say goodnight to everybody.
Thanks, bye everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.